When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here on F1 Explains, we like to unpick some of the more complicated bits of F1 and the world of motorsport. That said, some things are really simple. Like winning. Winning races is really good. Winning a championship, well, that's awesome.
He's the first Brazilian driver in history to win at this level. We've never had a Brazilian champion in Formula 3. And Gabriel Bortoleto, he is our 2023 Drivers' Champion.
Winning another championship? Well, that means you're really quite good at this whole racing thing.
The moment has arrived for the Brazilian driver, Gabriel Bortoleto. He's the Formula 2 champion of 2024. Back-to-back titles in F3 and F2 for the boy from Brazil. He's heading to Formula 1 as the champion.
Let's go! Let's go!
Gabriel Bortoleto climbing through the ranks to win two junior series back-to-back is impressive by anyone's standards. It's an exclusive club. The only drivers to have won F3 and F2 in consecutive seasons are Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Oscar Piastri and Gabby, our guest on F1 Explains this week, as we ask an F1 driver your questions. Now, his debut season in F1 has been impressive. He stacked up well against his experienced, fast and reliable teammate Nico Hülkenberg to help Sauber enjoy a far better season. They're last in the sport before being taken over by Audi in 2026. So it's an exciting time to be Gabriel Bortoleto, not least because he gets to answer your questions. We're in Austin, we're chatting to an F1 driver, so welcome to F1 Explains. Hello gang, I'm Christian Hugill and it is amazing to be talking to you from the Circuit of the Americas. And right at the start, I should say, if you're here this weekend at the United States Grand Prix, we're doing a live show on Saturday morning, 10:20 a.m. at the amphitheatre stage. David Coulthard and Mika Hakkinen are our special guests. So 10:20 in the morning, amphitheatre stage. Come down and see us if you're here in Austin this weekend. If you're not, don't worry. That show will be on this feed next week. So, of course, we won't let you miss a thing. But we are here in Austin, and I'm so happy to say that because I absolutely love it here. I love COTA. It's an amazing track. I love the city. I'm talking to you from the paddock right now where, and I've never seen this before, there is, I was about to say, a pretend bull. I'm sure it's a pretend bull. He's doing a very good job of staying still, if not. Here is the bull. I'm stroking the bull, but it's not great for podcasting. It's not making much noise. But that's a bull I can actually touch, unlike other bulls. Stay with me on this, because I'm really allergic to, like, horses and bulls, and have literally, just before we recorded this, found out that Lewis Hamilton is also allergic to horses. I share that in common with the great man. Anyway, these are the sort of things you get at the United States Grand Prix. But we're not here to talk about my allergies, which is just as well for you listening. We're here to talk about Gabriel Bortoleto and what a season he's had. I can remember at the start of the season some people saying, oh, well, he needs points. He needs to get scoring. And he has done. He has now scored 18 points in his first season in F1. And he's really helped Sauber towards, as we've just said at the start, such a better season. Sauber have 55 points on the board going into this weekend. Last year, they only scored 4 all season. So what a season for Sauber. And if you've never heard F1 Explains before, welcome. It's the official Formula One podcast where we answer your questions. You email us, f1explains@f1.com. We find the best people in the paddock to answer those questions. And every now and then we think, I tell you who the best person to answer this question is. It's a Formula One driver. So we've already featured this year Alex Albon, Lando Norris, and there is the world champion Max Verstappen walking through the paddock next to us with a big smile on his face, saying hello to somebody from McLaren. And who else have we got? We've got other Formula One drivers. Producer Jamie's pointing to me. Oh, Charles Leclerc kicking a football. Breaking news, everyone. Charles Leclerc in the United States Grand Prix paddock is kicking a football, or as they say here in the US, a soccer ball into a thing. And that's what we're used to in the Formula One paddock. You can be thinking you're talking about one thing and then something quite crazy happens. You end up getting distracted by Charles Leclerc kicking a football. Anyway, we are here to do an F1 Explained episode, Ask a Formula One Driver. And Gabriel Bortoleto is coming to the end of his rookie season, which has been so impressive. He's the perfect person to answer your questions. So enjoy this episode of F1 Explains, where we're asking a Formula One driver with Gabriel Bortoleto. Gabriel Bortoleto, welcome to F1 Explains. It's lovely to be talking to you. Thank you for having us here at Sauber.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you too. And very warm here in Austin.
I am quite warm.
I can see, yeah.
But I do look a bit warm. I apologise for that. I look like a mess, but you know, it's fine. We'll power through. We asked our listeners and our viewers what they would like to ask you, and loads sent birthday celebrations, including Bex, who congratulated you for 21st birthday this week, I believe.
Yeah, 2 days ago. What day is today? 16th?
Today is the 16th.
So yeah, 2 days ago, 14th was my birthday, 21 years old. Getting old.
Don't say that to me. I'm older than that.
Yeah, sorry for that. I didn't mean that.
Okay, you're not old. Did you get to celebrate much?
I mean, in the plane. That's it. I was flying the whole day, so nothing. I did nothing. Literally yesterday, the 15th, I went to dinner with my girlfriend and a couple of friends, but that's it. Was okay.
Not even a little glass of champagne on the plane?
No. I mean, it's race week. Maybe out of the race week, I can have it.
You can have one. They don't mind.
Yeah, they don't mind. But honestly, I was not too much up to it. I was having a nice dinner, but relaxed. You know, nothing too much. I mean, I like birthday, but for me, it's just another day.
Of course. Now, what isn't another day? What's going to be very exciting is what's happening in a couple of weeks' time. Your first home Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of questions on that. We've had a lot of questions from our listeners in Brazil. So before we get to a bit of a chunk of listener questions who've all come from Brazil, Amanda in Australia and Anna in Brazil have both asked the question, how much are you looking forward to that first home Grand Prix? And what are your expectations for the race?
Yeah, very much. I mean, I've told someone yesterday, you know, I was like, it's getting closer to the Grand Prix and I'm feeling more and more excited about it, you know, because I see, you know, things are going out, the F1 poster and then all the things we are going to be doing there as well. You know, I'm going a little bit earlier. Obviously, I have a few things to do for sponsor events and stuff, but, you know, I can see how much of a big thing is it going to be for my first Grand Prix. Obviously, you know, I need to be very focused on the driving side. That's the priority. And I'm looking forward to driving in Interlagos with a Formula One car for the first time.
Because it's a special circuit, isn't it? And I know a lot of drivers say their home race is special, but I'm British and we all grew up knowing that it's a really amazing track at Interlagos. That must be a fun sort of prospect to do that in a Formula One car for the first time.
Yeah, probably will be. It's definitely very special to be going there and racing in front of my home crowd, and it will be amazing.
Now, we mentioned we've had listener questions. Let's do a couple of those from Brazil. This episode is one of our Ask a Formula One Driver episodes. So we get lots of questions that people are thinking, only a driver can explain that to me. One of those is from Michael in Brazil. Michael asks, why F1 teams use pit boards to show information to the driver? obviously you guys are going past these boards at 250 kilometers an hour. So Michael's asking, can you read these boards at speed, and why are they still used?
Look, I'm very honest. I never this season looked at
at the boards.
But it's also a safety reason in case your radio fails or something. You know, you have the board, you have information, you have things that you need to know in a lap, and you can start looking at it.
Have you had a radio fail in your F1 car yet? Because it probably will happen at some point.
Well, don't say that.
Well, but it's going to happen. Things break.
It's not true. It cannot happen. It's
I like your thinking.
Yeah, okay.
I like your optimism.
Well, let's see. But no,
you've not had to rely on the board yet.
No, not yet. But obviously there was a small failures, but not through the whole lap. You know, just some parts of the track that the radio is not working very well, and then you go through it and you tell your engineer and he repeats whatever he said.
Another Brazilian question from Bruno. Bruno asks, when a driver is entering the pits, we can hear the engineer on the radio telling the drivers to change a setting on the car. They'll say strat 12 for the pits or similar things like that. What does that mean?
That's a very good question. So basically every team, you know, they have different settings. In our case, it's not strat, it's another code we use. But it's basically the engine mode you're going to have, because when you are in the pit box position that they are changing your tires, if you have that mode, you can have a better launch exiting that place. And you know that in Formula One, you fight for every single tenth. So it's very important to maximize every single thing of the engine you have.
And we've seen it so many times, haven't we? Especially when you guys are like battling in the midfield, where it's so close that losing 3 or 4 tenths on a pit lane entry, like that could be crucial.
Absolutely. You can lose some positions. You can even lose your race because you get stuck behind a car. You cannot get stuck. We are fighting for half a tenth and a pit exit.
Our last Brazilian-themed question is from Rosie in the USA. Rosie asks, what do you miss most about Brazil and home when you're travelling?
Honestly, the food.
Oh, food. I don't blame you. I really don't blame you.
Yeah, Brazilian food is great. You know, I'm a meat lover. So, I mean, in Brazil, it's great. We have great meat. We have great restaurants. And, to be honest, I think that's the most... And also, like... the ambient in Brazil, you know, it's always great. People are always happy. You know, Brazil, it's a nice place to live and to be. So I miss that.
What's your favorite Brazilian meat?
Picanha.
Picanha?
Picanha is my favorite Brazilian meat.
I don't think I've ever tried it.
No, well, for sure you tried. Have you been in Brazil?
No.
Okay.
That won't help.
No, but there
hopefully next year.
Yeah, there is not. It's worldwide. You can find picanha in a lot of places, but it's not a Brazilian meat. But it's very famous in Brazil because it's where we, like, it's one of the meats we cook the best.
Okay. Hoping to go to Brazil next year. I will remember that.
Good.
Well, Gabby, we should also say your first season in Formula One. Congratulations on such a great rookie season, you know, picking up points, performing exceptionally well. What, if anything, has surprised you about Formula One? Now you're sort of 3/4 of the way into your rookie season and you can do a bit of reflecting on this first season. Has anything surprised you about it?
I mean, the amount of media commitments we have.
Podcasts. Yeah, sorry
like
about
this
that.
One. No. No, but this is not, it's not saying that it's bad, you know. I'm just saying because you're not used to do this in F2, in F3.
Sure.
So you are used to have a lot of free time in your Thursday, in your Friday, you know, of just working with engineers and having a free time to think. But in F1, I believe... when you have a bit of a free time, you are doing an interview or something like this. So it doesn't mean it's bad, but it's something you really need to get used to. Because you're used to driving and studying with engineers. So when you step up to Formula One, obviously it's another level, and but you're already used to it. But the media is something completely new, basically. So you also need to save your energies and understand how to manage them very well through the weekend.
There's so much pressure in Formula One. There's so much pressure in top-level sports, especially for a rookie. Despite that, are you enjoying it? Are you finding yourself enjoying your first season?
Yeah, but even on the pressure side, you know, it's always great to have a positive pressure. There is two types, I always say, you know, the negative pressure that can put you down and then when the team doesn't support you. But in my case, I'm very grateful because, you know, all the pressure I had this year was myself putting on myself. There is never, you know, someone trying to tell me what I need to do or what I need to achieve. I think I'm a guy that I look a lot at myself and I look a lot of my mistakes and what I can do better. And I think this is a bit of a pressure I put on myself, and I always try to improve on that. But overall, I'm enjoying a lot my F1 season. You know, I'm always away from home. I'm always racing, doing what I love. So it's great because when you are in Junior Series, you have a lot of free time of doing nothing through weekends. And I feel like here, you always have something new. New tracks, new countries, new everything. So it's great to live this new experience in life as well.
A couple of questions about other drivers. Christopher Jackson says, what has surprised you most about having Nico as a teammate? You've got a teammate who's fast, he's reliable, he's been in the sport a long time. What's it been like having Nico as your teammate here at Sauber?
Well, on the performance-wise, you already said it all. You know, he's a great guy and super talented. But what surprised me the most is that he's extremely, extremely funny. You know, he's always joking about things and everything. He's another level.
That is a great answer to that question. And Anise in Singapore wants to know more about your relationship with a certain Fernando Alonso. Now, for those who don't know, explain what that relationship is with Fernando and what it's like to work with him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You know, Fernando is my manager. You know, he taught me a lot this year, in the previous years in F2 and F3, and gave me a lot of the opportunities I have today together with, you know, Alberto and Albert, that are the partners in A14 management. And but yeah, we have a great relationship. We spend a lot of time together because of the races and flying together and everything. Funny guy as well.
Yeah. Oh, very funny.
Yeah, young mentality, you know, I must say. He has a very young humor and everything. So yeah, I really enjoy spending time with him.
Oh, excellent. And what is it like when you come up against him on track? Because you've had some entertaining battles with him, which is, it's great for us to watch because we know there's the extra element. But what are you thinking when you're in the car?
Most of the times this year, I've been fighting with him. Yeah? It's the driver that I've been most fighting with, probably. And it's great. It's great. Obviously, there is a mutual respect. But when we close the visor, it's just competition. It doesn't matter who we are or if we are manager and driver and driver and manager. We just go for it and we try the best race possible.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Before we get back to today's episode, some very exciting news if you're in Austin this week. The F1 Hub is racing into town for a limited time only. From now until October the 20th, visit 1712 Congress Avenue in Austin and experience the ultimate pit stop shop for official F1 merch. That's easy for me to say. These are exclusive drops that you cannot find anywhere else in the world from F1 and your favourite teams, as well as special edition collabs for the United States Grand Prix. So very exciting, isn't it? The F1 Hub is only in town until the 20th of October, and then it's gone forever. So don't miss out and make sure you head down to the pop-up on 1712 Congress Avenue in Austin before it's too late. And for more information, go to f1.com/hub. Imogen in Sydney says, I'm curious about the process of transitioning from an F2 car to an F1 car. And Imogen says, since an F2 car is often considered harder to drive. Now, we know you've transitioned through the series so well because you won F3, you then won F2. Now you're here in F1. People do say that step up from F2 to F1 is bigger. Did you find that?
It's definitely bigger for many reasons. You know, the car is much faster. The amount of people that work in the team is incredibly bigger than any other series you face. Then yeah, it's completely different, but it's nice. It's nice to be able to work with so many people in the factory, you know, more than 1,000 people working to build two cars and to make them as fast as possible. That's an incredible responsibility as a driver as well you have, to be the one representing the whole team on track.
In terms of the car itself, what are the main differences? I'm going to be really thick here, but I'm guessing it's just loads faster for a start. But what are the other differences that might surprise us?
I mean, you said it is the speed mainly. Yeah. You know, that's what surprised the most. The first time you sit in a Formula One car and you hit the brakes, the amount of stop you have when you hit the brakes is absolutely incredible. So I must say it's a different beast.
Yeah, a very different beast. Michael is in Montana in the USA. Michael asks, what does lift and coast mean? And what are the reasons for the drivers using that technique? So, Gabby, what do you have to do when you're told to lift and coast? What does that mean?
So, okay, just explaining in a basic way, lift and coast is, in a quali lab, you don't lift and coast. You brake, you know, your brake marker in T1, it's in turn one, it's 100 meters. You go there and you release the throttle and you brake at 100 meter. You do everything together. Lift and coast is at 120, for example, 120 meters from the corner. You lift the throttle and you coast. So you don't brake, but you just lift the throttle from 120 to 100 meters. And then you brake. So you have 20 meters that you are not pressing the brake or the throttle. So nothing is going on. Why you do that? First, maybe save a fuel that sometimes in the race you need, because we normally are very tight to fuel in the race, so we sometimes need to save it. Second, it's to save tires. You know, you save a bit of the rear tires when you do lift and coast, because you put less energy on them when you hit the brakes. You know, you're not still going on power. So you already gave them time to, let's say, breathe in these 20 meters. When you hit the brake, you put less energy on them.
But the thing that gets me is you sit and explain that so well, but you're doing that at such speed. Everything happens in a Formula One car so fast. And when you speak to people who haven't driven Formula One cars and then get to for the first time, they say how much it is to process, how quickly everything happens. Is stuff like that a challenge when you're doing it at such speed?
No, honestly not.
That's why you're really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. But I wouldn't say so, because when you are at that speed, I must say that when you see the cars from the outside, it looks extremely quick, and they are extremely quick. But when you are inside them, you know, it feels like everything around you is slow.
So it sort of slows down a bit when you're in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like this.
But I think that's your talent. I don't think everybody could do that.
I mean, I trained this for my whole life.
Exactly.
It's everyone that trains and practice, they can be anything they want. So I've been doing this since I'm 6. So for sure, I feel like that.
A similar point, actually. Monika is in Toronto. And Monika says, I'm quite new to Formula One, but after seeing the F1 movie and Drive to Survive, I'm obsessed. I'd love to know more about the steering wheel and what all the buttons do and how many of them they actively use when driving. Because again, these things are like computers, aren't they? And you guys have got to press these buttons and use these steering wheels at great speed.
No, exactly. And there is many of them we use. Most of them we use. There is radio, pit limiter, upshift, downshift, clutch pedal, neutral, multifunctions that we have in the rotaries, differential entry, mid exit, engine braking. Man, there is specials that we can configure things together and we put it in one button. So like this, you hit it only once.
Yeah.
So many things.
I struggle with my car to adjust things on the radio when I'm driving. I'm bad at multitasking, so I don't know how you're doing all of that when driving an F1 car. My brain doesn't work like that.
You get used to it. But also, as you know, sometimes we do mistakes. We press the wrong button and you're like, oh, now you need to come back. But it happens, you know. It's okay.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I guess you would say that, wouldn't you? Right. And finally, Brennan asks, hi, Christian. I've just discovered your podcast and think it's great. That's very kind, Brennan. When a virtual safety car comes out, what speed do the drivers have to drive at and how do they do this? Is it a button like a speed limiter or do they have to judge it manually by themselves? So when a virtual safety car comes out, Gabby,
no, it's not a button. I don't know exactly the speed. I think it's a percentage reduced from the total lap time.
Yeah.
So like you take your total lap time, you reduce, I think, 20%, 30%, something like this, and you go there. But normally it's very easy for us because we have the lap time dash delta.
So on the steering wheel.
On the steering. So we have this delta that we need to be as close to zero as possible to not lose lap time. So you just need to be above zero. Like this, you are safe.
Does it go red and green like it does on the game? On the Formula One PlayStation game.
I've never played the game.
Well, on the Formula One PlayStation game, when the virtual safety car comes out, you have to, like a driver would do, control the speed. And it says, so for example, if you can go a bit quicker, it'll be like green minus 4 seconds, and you can know you need to catch up by 4 seconds.
It's green and red, yeah, yeah.
Yes, so it's like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. So anyone who's played the PlayStation game, it is similar for the drivers. Gabby, just finally, before we let you go, we're approaching the end of your first season now, which seems amazing to say, but the last 6 Grand Prix of the season. What's it been like? What are you hoping for in these final few races? And you must already be excited about next season with the Audi project coming in.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. You know, it's a big opportunity in my career to represent a brand like Audi and to deliver good results, hopefully, in the future for them. But right now, obviously, as you said, there is still some races to go in the season and focus. Hopefully, we can achieve some points. Would be nice to be back on points and fighting for them. I think that would be great.
Gabby, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on a busy race weekend. We really enjoy it. And when we put out that you were coming on the podcast, there was so much warmth for you from our listeners, people who are really pleased to have you in Formula One, pleased to see you doing so well, and loads of genuine well wishes about the Brazilian Grand Prix. We know how special Brazil is and its relationship with F1. It's great to have another Brazilian on the grid. So congratulations on a great first season, and enjoy Brazil in a couple of weeks' time, because we'll be really excited to watch you on your first home Grand Prix.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It was good to talk to you and talk to, you know, everyone that asked the questions. And hopefully we'll be back soon.
Take care. Thanks, Gabby.
Thank you.
Thank you to Sauber. Thank you to Gabriel Bortoleto. Thoroughly enjoyed that. That was my first time chatting to Gabby in detail. The only other times I've spoken to him before has been sort of very quickly in the pen, where I've been asking him one or two questions about free practice or something. So it was lovely to have the opportunity to sit down and talk to him a lot. I tell you what's nice as well is it just seems like he's really enjoying himself. He doesn't seem sort of overawed by his first season in Formula One. And I think that's shown on track. And listen, there are a lot of people in this paddock who really rate Gabriel Bortoleto and think he's done a fantastic job alongside, as we've said, a teammate, you know, who is not daft, Nico Hülkenberg. He is a really, really strong teammate, and Gabby stacked up really well. An impressive first season. And what momentum Sauber have going into their first season as Audi. Now, we're obviously doing an Ask a Formula One Driver episode, but quite often we also ask a team principal. We put all of your questions to a team principal in the paddock. And Jonathan Wheatley, team principal of Sauber, has been on the podcast fairly recently. We speak a lot more about that transition into Audi. Jonathan speaks about Gabby and his first season in the sport, so that's well worth listening to. Scroll back on this feed for our Ask a Team Principal episode. James Vowles has done it as well this season, so if you fancy that, that is on this feed. Right, before we go, a couple of messages that you've been sending us. You can send us questions, of course, to F1Explained at F1.com, but you can also just say hello. That's fine. And Karina in Sydney has done just that. We asked her a question to Alex Albon in one of our other Ask an F1 Driver episodes about how different it is driving at night to driving in the day. Karina said, I also forgot to mention that my kindergarten class loves F1. Each Monday afternoon, we watch the race highlights. Even my table groups are named after F1 teams. It's very cute when you ask 5-year-olds, where do you sit? And they reply with the Red Bulls. Oh, I love that. And Karina also says, we even have a class call. When I say Lando, they say Norris, vroom, vroom. This is my dream primary school or kindergarten. I should have gone there. This sounds fantastic. Keep up the good work, Karina. Rebecca, also in Australia. Rebecca says, just wanted to say how helpful this podcast has been for me. I watched an F1 race with a friend recently who's only just started getting into F1, and she had loads of questions throughout the race, and I was able to answer the majority of them using knowledge from this podcast. Another friend I watched with who also follows F1 but doesn't watch it as much as I do said she learns something new every time she watches a race with me. Keep up the good work. Rebecca, this is brilliant. This is absolutely fantastic. What I would say is don't get too good at it, because you'll take our job. So by all means, keep passing on the knowledge, but also send our podcast our way. It keeps the numbers up. We need it. Thank you. Of course, I'm joking. Thank you, Rebecca. F1 Explained at F1.com to say hello. Keep your questions coming in. And if you just want to say hello to us as well. Don't forget, one more reminder. If you're in Austin this weekend, Saturday, 10:20 a.m., our live show with David Coulthard and Mika Hakkinen. We hope to see you there. If not, don't worry. It's on the feed next week. We have new episodes of F1 Explained every Friday. Please do hit subscribe or follow or like, depending on what it says in your podcast provider. It really, really helps us. And don't forget, for all the action from COTA, F1 Nation with Tom Clarkson will debrief the race on Monday, so check out that. And Beyond the Grid is coming as well, with in-depth interviews from the world of Formula One, also produced by producer Jamie. Who's coming up on the show, please, Jamie?
On Beyond the Grid.
On Beyond the Grid.
Next week.
Next week.
Next week.
Yeah, next week.
Enrico Cardile from Aston Martin.
Ah, fantastic. Well, there you go. We like to shine a light on the people who maybe you don't normally get to hear from. And on that bombshell, we shall go back next week on F1 Explained. Have a great week. Speak to you next Friday. Bye for now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.